This is CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Rear Admiral Mike Hewitt, USA Navy retired, an aviator, now the CEO and founder of IP3, a firm that is much involved in the development of small modular reactors immediately in the United Kingdom, but beyond, the export value here is enormous for Europe. The demands for energy are obvious in the shortages and the blackouts and the concerns now from San Francisco to, well into China now. We have rolling blackouts in the residential parts of China. People's traffic lights aren't working. Mike, we need to design an SMR. I'm looking at a photograph provided from Rolls-Royce's PDF of a nuclear reactor on the back of a truck being hauled to where it's needed. This is very small, provides 220 megawatts to 440 megawatts of power, the equivalent of 150 onshore wind turbines. I mentioned the wind stopped blowing this past summer, and that is the source of the crisis in the UK. If the SMR was available now, there would be no crisis. What am I looking at, Mike? What is that on the back of the truck?
John, that's the nuclear power in its original form, as you know, and predominantly in the minds of everyone, are these large gigawatt size plants that produce a lot of power, but also cost a lot of money and have been very difficult to build. And we've demonstrated that in our own country, where we haven't built one successfully in 30 years. The idea of transforming nuclear power into one that matches up with the marketplace drove the industry, and there are a dozen U.S. companies involved in some form of developing a new type of nuclear power plant, including Bill Gates. Many of the original designs that we're talking about today were actually designs that were considered 50 or 60 years ago. I like to say it's the oldest new technology we've ever seen. The key is the new form factor. And what we talk about in modular reactors, there's several key attributes. One, scalability. We have technologies that are everything down to 1 megawatt to take into mobile locations, up to 300, 400 megawatts, which is the current design of the Rolls-Royce SMR. The second attribute is they're built in a factory. The key cost overrun for large nuclear power plants are these large construction projects that are just very difficult to do. With a modular reactor, I can reduce costs. I can be confident in the ability to produce these things effectively, and I can introduce them to emerging markets at a much smaller scale. The third attribute of SMRs is they were actually addressed to go after things that were of concern, proliferation risk, walk away safe. You'll hear terms such as that in these new designs. A small modular reactor, if it loses all of its power and you just walk away and it gracefully shuts itself down. There are other small modular reactors that can operate without the need for water. There are other modular reactors that operate in different temperature regimes, John. That's really important as we look at what we call the hard to decarbonize industries. A small modular reactor that operates at 700 degrees Celsius is the perfect thermal application for producing hydrogen. There are small modular reactors that operate at the perfect temperature to desalinate water. And then most recently, you've seen a lot of the big data industries demanding nuclear power because of its always-on baseload component. So the modular reactors, in terms of innovation, are not really new at all. Their existing designs, what we need to do is get to production so we can take these things to the large growth and demand. We are very excited about the multitude of companies in the U.S. and the U.K. that have developed different designs around the concept of modular reactors. The reason they're going to be so favorably received at COP26 is they actually complement renewable energy. Where renewable energy is very intermittent, a small modular reactor can come in and provide that backup baseload power. And I think what Jillian referred to in the Financial Times was this idea of a transition capability to get us to an end state. I think that's, in some cases, very accurate, although I think what we will find out is that nuclear power will always have a predominant role in abundant baseload and clean.
I'm following the PDF from Rolls-Royce. Everybody, it's available online anywhere. last for 60 years, Mike. That's a happy transition. They're ready to provide an SMR by 2028. The UK needs it now, but that's a good timeline. And they're also ready in 5 years from start of construction. They're also ready to export. Is the EU rethinking, Mike, in any fashion? Germany's sudden turn after Fukushima was alarming, and that needs a brooding.
What we've seen, John, in just the last few years, and I think this is very important, there's a consensus around climate change as a existential threat, as a national security threat. You're hearing NATO, the Department of Defense, and everyone coalesce around the concerns of climate change. Up until this point, it was really defined as global warming and carbon reduction. What the EU has done, really led by Germany, is to push nuclear power out of the ESG conversation and really oversubscribe to renewable energy as the solution for Europe. It's simply not working. And so what you're seeing with Macron in France, what you're seeing with many of the EU nations, particularly the Eastern European nations that are demanding nuclear power as part of their energy mix and are pushing back on the EU, which has foreclosed the conversation of nuclear power to this point. You're seeing that being readdressed now inside the EU, inside what we call the ESG taxonomy, simply because the EU nations are now demanding nuclear power. I believe with the departure of Angela Merkel and her real heavy-handedness in driving the energy solution for the EU, I think you're going to see a quiet reversal, maybe even inside Germany, of the concerns about nuclear power, because the demand for more energy that's clean is far outstripping some of the rhetoric of the past.
Mike, an SMR right now, if you have a blackout or a rolling brownout in parts of California because of concerns about fires or the inability to protect the transformers, the long-distance lines, is it possible to put an SMR in the middle of a city and provide power for critical resources to keep everything lighting up? Is that an imaginable use?
It really is. As we move beyond nuclear power as just another source of energy, and we start to look at how it can complement the future energy mix, which will be heavily driven by renewable energy. And we're very cautious to say we believe they complement each other. If you were to have a series of small modular reactors in places such as military installations where they could be providing that kind of resilient power that these critical infrastructure industries need, but at the same time can augment power fluctuations when the wind doesn't blow or there's an ice storm or there's some other event that causes a reduction in power, an SMR can be the perfect augmentation to that. And that's what you're starting to see in much more lucid conversations now. As California shuts down its last nuclear power plant, you're already seeing the demand for more energy that can't be met. And frankly, the oversubscription to renewable energy without any augmentation is creating some of the problems you're seeing in California right now with the grid, because the grid was designed to have baseload always on power, and this intermittency that comes with renewable energy is creating some of the failures in the grid, which are actually causing the fires in California. So I think that a more lucid view of what we need to do with an energy mix in the future will include the advent of small modular reactors, even in California.
Admiral Mike Hewitt, U.S. Navy retired, 31 years aviator, now the CEO and co-founder of IP3, Rolls-Royce. I think you all know that basis. It's UK, and the PDF is available to imagine the future where energy goes where it's needed, not depending all of us on energy source somewhere. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.